The Bible reading today is from Colossians 4, starting at verse 2, which in the Church Bibles is on page 955. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm glad you've joined us this morning. When I was thinking about prayer, there's a story that always comes to my mind. It's told by Tony Campolo, who was invited to preach at a Pentecostal church. But he said, picture this, he said, before I got to preach, they took me out the back, and eight guys took me into the back room, and I got down on my knees. They laid their hands on my head and prayed for me. So that was good. I need all the prayer I can get before I speak. There was only one problem. These guys prayed for a long time. Picture him on the ground on his knees, guys pushing into his head. And the longer they prayed, the more tired they got. The more tired they got, the more they leaned on my head. I wanted to tell you that when there are eight guys leaning on your head, it doesn't feel good. And one guy wasn't even praying for me. Instead, he went on praying for someone called Charlie Stolfus. Dear Lord, he said, as he's leaning on Campolo, you know Charlie Stolfus. He lives in that silver caravan about a mile down the road. You know the caravan, Lord, just down the road on the right-hand side. And I felt like saying, come on, knock it off. What do you think God's doing? What's the address again? Anyway, he went on and on. Lord, Charlie told me this morning that he's decided to leave his wife and three kids. He told me that he was walking out on his family. Lord, step in and do something. Bring the people in that family back together again. And you know, Pentecostals, they pray with fervor, right? All while I'm kneeling and I'm asking myself, when's this guy going to knock off so I can get these Pentecostal preachers off my head? But he kept going on and on about Charlie Stolfus leaving his wife and kids, giving God constant reminders that he lived in a silver caravan a mile down the road on the right-hand side. Finally, the prayers were over. I went to the pulpit and I preached. After I was finished, I got into my car, drove to the Pennsylvania motorway and headed for home. As I drove onto the motorway, I noticed a hitchhiker. Now, I know you're not meant to pick them up, but I'm a preacher. Whenever I can get anybody locked up in as a captive audience, I do it. So I stopped and I picked up the hitchhiker. We drove for a few minutes. I said, hi, my name's Tony Campolo. What's your name? He said, my name's Charlie Stolfus. I couldn't believe it. I got off the motorway at the next exit and headed back, he said. He got a little bit uneasy and said, mister, where are you taking me? And he said, I'm taking you home. His eyes narrowed and he asked, why? Well, because you just left your wife and your three children, right? Yes, staring at him with shock over his face. He said he plastered himself against the car door and never took his eyes off me. I drove off the motorway at the next exit. Then I really did him in as I drove right down to his silver caravan. When I pulled up, his eyes seemed to bulge. He asked, how did you know where I lived? I said, God told me. I believe God did tell me. He got out of the car. I ordered him to get into that caravan. Half shaking, he answered, right, mister, anything you say. He opened the door and his wife said, you're back. He whispered in her ear and told her what had happened. Campolo said, I said to both of them, sit down, I need to talk to both of you. And did they listen, he said. That afternoon, I led those two young people to Christ. Today, that guy's a preacher of the gospel out in California. He wrote, don't ever be surprised by how God works when we pray. Don't ever be surprised. The non-Christians will say it's a coincidence. We say it's the providence and the work of God. Amen? The non-Christian will say it's just a coincidence. No, we believe it is the work of God to bring people to salvation and to healing. Friends, God has given us a great commission to take the gospel to our communities and to the nations, both local and global. This weekend is a public holiday weekend. I thought, what do we speak? Why don't we take time to stop and reflect again on the importance of prayer? Because as we go into a term of ministry, if we don't cover it with prayer, if we don't go to God and ask Him to bless it, and we simply do it in our own strength, we won't see the results. Because Jesus said, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We can't do that effectively without prayer. Sure, we get trained in evangelism, we know what the gospel is, and we put on great programs here, kids ministry, youth ministry, playtime ministry, adult ministries. We can plan great things, but we need the Spirit of God to be at work in those things to see fruitfulness out of those ministries. And we realize that as we undertake these ministries, as we go to the ends of the earth, we're engaged in a spiritual struggle. Often you do not see it, you don't feel it. And you have to be reminded from the Word of God that there is a spiritual struggle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There's the enemy working against God's people. That's why John Piper writes, life is war. So what he says about prayer, that's not all it is. Life is not simply about war, but it is always that. Our weakness in prayer is owing largely to our neglect of this truth. Prayer is primarily a walkie-talkie for the mission of the church as it advances against the powers of darkness and unbelief. It is not surprising that prayer malfunctions when we try to make it a domestic intercom to call upstairs for more comforts in the den. God has given us prayers that wartime walkie-talkie so that we can call headquarters for everything we need as the kingdom of God advances in the world. Prayer gives us the significance of frontline forces and gives God the glory of a limitless provider. The one who gives the power gets the glory. And so if we fail to pray, if we fail to fight the spiritual battle, if we don't hit our knees and enter the conflict at this level, we will miss the power and the blessings of God. Prayer must be woven into every fabric of all we do. Before and during every committee meeting in this church, before, after every ministry that we run, prayer is central to what we do as a church, because we at Ngawi Baptist Church believe that it is God's work. It's not through our strength and power that things are accomplished. So we go to Him. We must pray. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the minds of unbelievers are blinded. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So as we go out, we're conscious that the enemy has blinded them. You talk to people that have no appreciation of spiritual matters, no appreciation of the greatness of Jesus. It's like you're talking to a brick wall. You ever found that with some people? Yet other times, as the Spirit of God goes before us and starts penetrating their hearts and opening up their eyes to see, they are receptive to the gospel. That's why we pray. God opens up hearts to respond to the gospel. Acts chapter 16. On a Sabbath, we, Paul and friends, went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth, very wealthy woman from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. That's a great confidence we have as we take the gospel, that God opens up hearts to receive that gospel. Think about your own conversion. I think of mine as a 15-year-old, that as I'm hearing the gospel and God is opening up my heart to believe it, to receive it, and to change me. The same for you. Let me take you now for a few minutes to Colossians chapter 4. Only the first couple of verses. To be challenged by these verses on the importance of prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Just a few verses for your encouragement this morning. Firstly, let's be persevering in prayer. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pick up the first area, be devoted or be persevering, be continuous in your prayer life. Friends, we're all devoted to different things. I'm devoted to my family, my work, my health, my Greek food, my gelato, and a few other things. We're all devoted to things. We know what we're devoted to, what we spend time thinking about, what we spend our money on, what we dream about. Sometimes I'm not devoted to prayer. Sometimes I'm really lazy about prayer. Anyone with me? You can do all these other things, but to stop in the quietness with no noise and no social media and no radio and just nothing and just hear the rain and talk to the God of the universe. We need that place. Jesus would take off in the middle of the morning. He'd go away from his disciples to have time alone with his Father. I need to learn that more and more the busier life becomes. Friends, we need to be devoted and persevering in prayer because people in spiritual darkness, they won't come to Christ without the work of the Spirit in their lives. But God does work. So you've been persevering in prayer for a brother or sister, mother or father. Keep praying. Don't give up. Douglas Kelly, in his book, If God Already Knows Why Pray, writes this. We must approach the Almighty throne with determination. Then God's glory and salvation through Jesus Christ will sweep like a mighty tide through the nations. The secret is to keep on praying. Indeed, we need to increase our praying. The very time the world is saying that our persistence is shameful, foolish, and even fanatical. There's an elderly lady from the Western Highlands of Scotland, without knowing so, taught me a great deal about prayer. Though she has little formal education, she was deeply and beautifully schooled in the things of the Spirit. Many years ago, I was in her home for a meal right after she had received a most encouraging letter. A close friend of hers, another woman who was also in her 80s, wrote to say that she had just come to a personal saving knowledge of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps unknown to her, my saintly friend has started to pray for the other's salvation soon after she had been her bridesmaid in her wedding. And she had been praying the same thing every day for the last 53 years. That's devotion. That's perseverance in prayer. The enemy would say to you, stop praying. That person will never be saved. Your prayers are doing no good. God would say, keep being devoted and persevering in prayer. Secondly, be vigilant. You need to be mentally and spiritually alert. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Be watchful. That means be spiritually alert to who you are, where you live, what other people are thinking, what other people are doing. As you walk on the streets every day, be spiritually alert to the work of God in your life and in your situations. Life is war. It's a spiritual war. We need to be alert to the best times to share Christ. We need to know when to speak and when to be silent. When a word of encouragement might stir someone up to consider the work of Christ. We need to be alert at the beach, at the school playground, in a coffee shop, even on aeroplanes. I still remember being on an aeroplane flying back from the Gold Coast with my family. We missed the aeroplane we meant to be on. We were on a bus and it stopped at so many places we didn't get to the air flight. We had two young kids. But God had a plan, right? We caught the next plane, playing with my daughters, and I noticed two women were watching. I started a conversation with them. They asked me what I did for a job. I said I was a pastor. One woman said to the other one, "I told you so." Pastor written over my head or something. I discovered as we talked that they used to go to church. But some things had happened in church that had turned them off. So half an hour after that, as we continue to talk, I encourage them to maybe to find a new place, a new church, to grow in their relationship with Jesus. There was a mother and a daughter. Be spiritually alert. Doesn't matter where you are. Flying to Asia last year, I sat next to a fellow on one of the flights. He was taking a year off from his place in the UK, to go and work at somewhere in Asia. It sounded like, he didn't say too much, like he was trying to escape life and rediscover life. And I told him some of the things I was doing and some of the ministries I was involved in. I was able to tell him that the reason we do those things is because Christ has made a difference to our lives. And we go in the power of Christ, with the love of Christ, to serve the needy in Southeast Asia. Other times I sit on the aeroplane, everyone's got their headgear. Most times you don't have a conversation, right? These days, no one wants to talk to anyone. If someone starts to talk, they turn you off. Or I was at a beach a few years ago, with my younger children, and the kids started to play with each other. And you do that in settings. The kids just mix and start to play. And the guy came and sat next to me. He was alone there with his daughter. And he asked me what I was doing on a Wednesday at the beach. Didn't I have a job? And I was able to explain to him that I was a pastor and I have Wednesdays off. And he didn't say very much. And after a little while, he said, "Oh, by the way, I have one of my close friends has just become a Christian as well." I'm a little bit stunned by that. I didn't expect my friend to become a Christian. And then we're having a conversation about Jesus and encouraging him to make a connection with God. Spiritually alert to the opportunities that God will give you. And Millard and I were at Westfield Hurstville. I just remembered that a couple of years ago. And he saw some Muslim evangelists, Pakistani Muslims, evangelizing an Islander girl, a Pacific Islander girl. And he wasn't happy with that. I was just going to walk past. We've had some lunch or dinner it was. And he said, no, we must go and speak to them. Okay. So there we were down at the entrance on Forest Road there, at the entrance of Westfield, engaging in conversation with two Muslim evangelists, trying to convert people to Islam. And Malala's having conversation, we're having conversation, we're debating back and forward. And ultimately, 20, 30 minutes later, they'd had enough and they left. As we pointed him to Christ. And our positive thing is the other woman went away and didn't become Muslim, right? And hopefully she would hear the gospel another time. Be open. But be thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So in your prayerfulness for people, as you pray for opportunities, give thanks to God for forgiveness, for the Spirit of God, for new life, for material possessions. Just overflow in thankfulness for all that God has given you. For the new believers, for the baptisms, for the Alpha Course, for the youth ministry in our church. Be thankful to God that our youth are going to Kick Convention next week. Friends, Kick Convention has 2,000 young people every weekend for 4 weekends a year. three, one weekend after another, and another weekend in September. Our guys go into the third weekend. Many people give their lives to Christ at the convention. They'll hear the gospel. They'll be in a Christian community. Will you pray? And when they get saved, give thanks to God that they get saved at KIC convention. Give thanks to God that they give their life to Jesus in kids' church. Give thanks to God that someone is drawn to church through our playtime groups. Give thanks. Keep overflowing in thankfulness. Don't see the negative. Sometimes that person didn't get saved, or we tried so hard and nothing happened. See what God has done and give thanks to God for what he has done. Sometimes I forget to give thanks to God. I pray for things, and sometimes you just need to write down your prayers and then write down your answers to your prayers, and you will be surprised by how often God has answered your prayers. And you have not thanked him. I have not thanked him. And petition. We need to ask for things and pray for us that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should. In passing, we acknowledge he's in chains. He's been persecuted for the faith. He's praying for unique opportunities to proclaim Christ. An open door for our message, he says. An open door is a God-given opportunity. That's what we're praying for. When we pray for our missionaries overseas, pray that God gives them open doors to Islamic communities, Hindu communities, Buddhist communities, and tribal communities. That God will give open doors and God will put them in touch with men and women who are hungry and open to the things of God. We will support cross-cultural workers this May, seeking to raise a target of $90,000. We already, as part of our general budget, put $140,000 a year to our link missionaries. You have them listed in our bulletins. We do all of that. We pray and we give so men and women come to discover Jesus. For instance, last year I visited workers in Southeast Asia. Ex-Muslims are now followers of Jesus through the work of the Education Foundation, for example. Ex-Buddhists, ex-Hindus have come to faith in Jesus through Project Video in Thailand. Workers are trained to create movies and various short films to take them out to their unreached communities. On the trip last year to Southeast Asia, I met up with Made and his family. And when I first met Made over 20 years ago, he was a young single guy. He told me his testimony when I was there, when I first met him. He lived on the streets in Kuta. He said, I was drunk and I was hopeless as a 13-year-old. I used to sleep outside the Sari Club, if you remember that name, the club that was blown up in the first Bali bombing. Our YWAM team got him off the streets, youth with a mission team, put him in an orphanage for street kids, and got him to school. Through the witness of these believers, he became a Christian. And he said to me when I first met him in Bali, I was saved in two ways. Jesus saved me from eternal death, but if I was not taken off the streets a few years ago, I'd be dead today. I would have been blown up in the Bali bombing because where I hung out was the Sari Club on the streets outside. Friends, we are talking about life and death. If people's eternal destiny is at stake. A number of years ago, I was called in to St. George Hospital to the emergency department. A woman was dying. I'm on their list as an emergency pastor to come in, and someone had asked for a Baptist pastor to come in. Let me tell you, they are the scariest calls I ever get. And get out of my shorts, out of my t-shirt, put on some nice clothes, and drive to meet people I'd never met before. They're going to ask me the most difficult questions, and one of their loved ones is going to die. And they want to know what's next. Pray for your pastors, will you? They don't come too often, those ones, but they do come. And I was in there, and there was a man in there, and he was maybe her de facto, I think. And he pulled me aside and said, I need to talk to you, Pastor. She was unconscious and not long to live. He said, I want to know about her eternal destiny. He said, you know, I grew up in the church. I was baptized, but I've lapsed. I've walked away from God. I haven't been following God, but I know that gospel. She didn't have any of that. She wasn't baptized, didn't believe in Jesus, didn't have a religious perspective. I never told her anything. What will happen to her now? I said, if you were baptized and you grew up in a church, you know what the gospel says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Yeah, I know what it says, but what will happen to her? I said, well, I'm not the judge. The Bible has given us his word. And the Lord knows her heart, her response to the gospel. You know what he wanted me to say? She's going to be okay now. She's going to be with Jesus now. You can relax. I can't say that. I can't give false confidence to the dying. I can call them to repentance and faith. I can't just pronounce a blessing over them and somehow zapped into heaven. It's a matter of life and death. So we pray that God will give us opportunities. You pray, will you pray that God will give you opportunities every day? That our missionary workers will have opportunities every day? As we live in May and June this year, in this second term, that God, let's not focus beyond it, just so even the next 2 months. They've got opportunities to invite people Alpha, to give a Bible away, to speak to someone about Christ. Because I ask, who are you praying for? Because you've got to pray. Life is war. It's a spiritual battle. Only God has the power to break into people's lives and transform them. Maybe your hairdresser or your chiropractor or your mechanic or your business associate or your sports mates, the hotel you're staying in, whatever it happens to be. We're men and women who are spiritually alert, praying for God-given opportunities wherever we are. We also pray, though, that the preachers and pastors might proclaim it clearly. Paul says, will you pray that I would articulate the gospel clearly so they don't get a false gospel, they get a true gospel. Friends, we all need to know how to share the gospel, and I don't have time to go through all of that today other than to just mention a couple of ways in which I think about the gospel. I have that on the screen now. One of them is, have a look at that first one. Because you think, well, what methods do you use? I use like 100 methods. I just use whatever method is available, whatever I need to say to someone about Jesus. One of the ways if someone gives me a few minutes, is God, man, God, what if he does, what if he won't? I say to him, well, God is a loving creator. He built us for a relationship with him. And he wants us to follow him and to love him. But we have rebelled against him. We've gone our own way. We've sinned against God. And that means that there's a death and punishment associated with that towards a holy God. But God sent his son to die on a cross for us. What if he does? If he repents and believes, they will have eternal life and new life. What if he won't? They'll remain under God's judgment. There's a gospel presentation there. Oh, we've got the Two Ways to Live booklet. I won't go through that. Or the Bridge to Life. I often draw the Bridge to Life illustration. You use that. We use it in the Alpha course as well. How the cross becomes the bridge from a holy God and a sinful humanity. And we try all other ways to get across. It's picture two cliffs. We try to get to God through our good works, through attending the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or something else. We'll give money to the poor, thinking that will be enough to get us to God's side. And you realize that's not enough. We take the death of Christ. He becomes the bridge back to God through his death and resurrection. Knowing God personally, again, is another little booklet. And the other one, I think, if you something helpful in light of the Pope dying recently and his funeral yesterday, if you have Catholic friends or Orthodox friends or religious friends, I haven't put it on there, I'm just reminded of that this morning. It's what we call the do versus done illustration. And it's religion is spelled D-O, what you do to make you, to impress God so he lets you into heaven. Christianity is spelled, no, that's all religions, but Christianity is spelled done, D-O-N-E, what's what Christ has done for us. He died, He rose again, and we can now have the free gift of eternal life, free relationship with God. It's not what you do, it's what Christ has done. And that's a great way to take the gospel. Take in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. Take the John 3, 16, 17 and 18. Because you will notice, even as you've heard commentary about the recent funeral, the Pope's funeral, without saying too much, just read some of the theology of the Catholic Church. It's not changed. You're still going through religious duties and works and so on. They don't have the clear gospel. They still think they have to do something. Just tell them, if someone says, what do you say, my Catholic friend? Offer condolences that their spiritual leader has passed away, and we thank God for what he has contributed. And then you take them to Jesus. Isn't it good that Jesus died and rose again for us? So if we face our own death, we can be forgiven and restored to a relationship with God. We can be confident to God. And if purgatory comes up, just, well, it's another matter. Sharon, there's no purgatory in the Bible. Just take them to the heaven or hell. But be open. You never know. You have friends at the moment who are mourning and are grieving and think of our spiritual leader, and they're praying for the next spiritual leader. Well, you pray for the next spiritual leader, they'll know the gospel clearly and reform the Catholic Church. Become Protestant, do I say? We're praying because the last Pope had good relationships with evangelicals in South America, Pentecostal leaders, Baptist leaders and others. He had good relationships with them. We're praying for that continuing good relationships that will draw people closer to the true gospel. And friends, our Alpha will teach the gospel over the next 7 weeks, starting in May. And you're most welcome to join us if that would be helpful for you, or if you could bring a friend to discover more about Jesus. Can I encourage you to be in prayer as we start a new term of ministry? Local, pray for local things. Pray for global things to the glory of God. Pray alone, pray in home groups, pray in ministry teams, pray in prayer meetings, pray in church. Be devoted to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Amen.